to Luke chapter 23 again. We were there this morning. We're going to continue in this chapter. Luke chapter 23. And tonight we're going to see God's distinguishing grace. The message is called Distinguishing Grace Displayed. Distinguishing Grace Displayed. And this morning we looked at chapter 23 here and we saw a clear picture of substitution in the release of Barabbas and the Lord Jesus Christ dying in this place. Now let's read from verses 26 to 49. And as they led him away, they laid hold upon one Simon, a Cyrenian, coming out of the country. And on him they laid the cross, that he might bear it after Jesus. And there followed him a great company of people and of women, which also bewailed and lamented him. But Jesus, turning unto them, said, Daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me. What a statement. Weep not for me. But weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming in which they shall say, Blessed are the barren, and the wombs that never bear, and the paps which never gave suck. Then shall they begin to say to the mountains, Fall on us, and to the hills, cover us. For if they do these things in the green tree, what shall be done in the dry? And there were also two malefactors led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified. And the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him, saying, He saved others, let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, If thou be king of the Jews, save thyself. And the superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek, Latin, and Hebrew. This is the king of the Jews. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost thou not fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we received the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. And it was about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over all the earth. And the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. Now when the centurion saw what was done, he glorified God, saying, Certainly, this was a righteous man. And all the people that came together to that sight, beholding the things which were done, smote their breasts and returned. And all his acquaintance and the woman that followed him from Galilee stood afar off, beholding these things. Beloved, as an introduction to this lesson, we need to be reminded of these very important God-honoring truths. Jesus Christ is God. Our Creator, who left the splendors and the glory of heaven to come to this world, to mantle himself with a body of flesh. And our Lord had to become a man so that he could establish a righteousness for his chosen people. He had to come. He had to come. Otherwise, we would not have a righteousness that would make us fit to be in the presence of God. He had to come. And he did. And he wrought out a perfect righteousness for his people by his perfect obedience to the will of God the Father. Moreover, our Lord became a man so that he could redeem us. so that He could purchase us with His own precious blood. He redeemed us from the curse of the law. Let us never forget that. Let us never forget that it took the death of Christ to redeem us from the curse of the law. That's what it took. The death of the God-man. The only death that would satisfy the holy justice of God was the death of His darling Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the pure, spotless Lamb of God. God cannot die, so the Son of God becomes a man. Becomes a man, so that He could lay down His life for us. Wonder of wonders. Wonder of wonders, beloved. And it was for this very reason that He came into this world. To die for us. You notice what He said to those ladies? Weep not for me. Why? Because He's on a mission. He knows what He must do. He's here in this portion of Scripture when He turns to them and says that. He knows that He's going to the cross to die for His bride. For those whom He's loved from eternity. Again, this love, the greatest manifestation of love was at Calvary's cross. The love that God the Father has for His people by sending His Son to die for us. And the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ, God incarnate in the flesh, the Son of God, the second person of the Trinity, the Word of God, became flesh to die for His bride. To purchase her with His own precious blood. And He's loved her from eternity. Remember that. We who are the people of God, remember that. We've been loved from eternity. And Christ manifested His love for us by giving His life for us. I don't think anything ever compares to that. Nothing. It's incredible. And also remember this too, before we get started. Our Lord had no sin of His own. He's perfect. He's spotless. He's sinless. He's a Lamb of God, perfect in all ways. Everything about Him is pleasing in the sight of God. Think of that in opposite to us. In our natural state, nothing in us is pleasing to God. Isn't that incredible? Now these two thieves, they must have been filled with fear of what was waiting for them. Think of that. They must have been filled with fear of what was waiting for them. They knew their day of execution was coming. That's why for Barabbas, when they said, "You can go free," he must have been shocked. They knew. I could just imagine the jailers tormenting them. "Your day is coming. It's getting closer. It's only a few days away." They knew. They knew their day was coming. But our Lord, we saw in Hebrews 12:3 that He delighted to do the Father's will. He took joy in that which was set before Him. Because He's going to the cross to redeem His people from their sins. The joy that was set before Him was His chosen people. His chosen people. Us. We who are the redeemed of the Lord. His church. You and me. If our faith is true faith in Christ, you and I. My. It brings us low, doesn't it? It's humbling. But yet it fills us with joy to know that Christ done that for us. And how thankful we should be that the Lord Jesus Christ would not be turned away from the painful struggle of climbing to the top of Mount Calvary. And He knew what was waiting for Him, beloved. He knew what was waiting for Him. He endured the wrath of God in our place. He was forsaken of the Father so that we would never be forsaken of God. Never. My. He endured the cross so that nothing could be laid to our charge. Absolutely nothing. He endured all that. For us. For His people. He went to the cross willingly. Weep not for me. And remember, when He says that, the Scripture says His face, as I was reading for this study, they were saying that His face John Gill said his face was so beaten like no other man had ever been beaten. Oh my. And he turns to them and says, "Weep not for me." He went to the cross willingly to purchase our eternal souls, to purchase the souls of His bride. Why? So that we, who are sinners, would be acceptable in God's sight. My. Look at verses 27 to 31, and we see what the Lord says to the woman again who followed Him and bewailed Him and lamented Him. And there followed Him a great company of people. Excuse me, and of woman, which also bewailed and lamented Him. But Jesus, turning unto them, said, "Daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me." Remember, he's beaten to a pulp. And He turns to them and says, "Don't weep for me. Weep not for me. But weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming in which they shall say, 'Blessed are the barren and the wombs that never bear, and the paps which never gave suck.' Then shall they begin to say to the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.' For if they do these things in a green tree, what shall be done in the dry?" And again, we see by His statement to them that just as the Old Testament says, His face is set like a flint to Jerusalem. His face is set like a flint to go to that cross. It's like He's set in stone, beloved. And He's going to redeem those who the Father gave Him in eternity. And if you're a believer, you're one of that number. Oh my. He's going to accomplish the mission which He came to fulfill. To save His people from their sin. Look at verses 32 and 33, and we see the sinless, perfect, innocent substitute will be crucified with two who are guilty according to the law of man and God. And there were also two other malefactors, guilty ones. Guilty ones. Guilty by the law of man and guilty by the law of God. Led with Him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified Him. And the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And they parted His remnant and cast lots. Now these two thieves were both railing against our Lord. But we see God's distinguishing grace at work. We see a very clear manifestation of God's distinguishing grace. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, they crucified Him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. And again, we know from other scriptures that they were both railing at the Lord. Both of them were railing on the Lord. But one of these thieves, beloved, one of these thieves was chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. You wouldn't think so when they're both railing on the Lord, eh? Oh my. And this thief had no idea that he was one of the lost sheep of God. He had absolutely no idea. He didn't have a clue. But we will see God's sovereign grace at work, beloved. And what a wonderful picture we have here. Notice the Scripture proclaims they came to the place which is called Calvary. They came to the place which was ordained by our sovereign God that the Lord Jesus Christ, the second person of the Trinity, the Word of God, God incarnate in the flesh, they came to the place that was ordained by God for Him to die. Never forget that too. Even the very place where He was put to death was ordained by our great God. Calvary. Calvary is where He would die in the place of His bride. A place distinguished from all other places. A place where they crucified our Lord. And that's the place, beloved, where His blood washed away all the sins of His chosen people. That's the place where our Savior gave Himself a ransom price in full for all His chosen people. And that's the place where the final fulfillment of all the conditions of the eternal covenant of grace were met. It is finished. It means there's nothing to be added. And beloved, that is the place where our Savior redeemed us. Where He purchased us. Where He bought us. And we're bought with a price, right? The precious blood of Christ. Calvary is where He purchased us. Let's read verses 33-43. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified Him. And the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted His raiment and cast lots. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided Him, saying, He saved others. Let Him save Himself, if He be Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked Him, coming to Him and offering Him vinegar, and saying, If thou be King of the Jews, save thyself. And the superscription also was written over Him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew, This is King of the Jews. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on Him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, Dost thou not fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Oh, what wonderful words. What wonderful words. Turn, if you would, to Matthew 27. Now, we know in comparing Scripture with Scripture that both these were railing on the Lord at first. And in the passage that we're going to read here, the hatred towards the Lord Jesus Christ that was in the hearts of both these is brought forth. Both these railed on Him at first. Matthew 27, verses 43-44 says this, He trusted in God, let Him deliver Him now, if He will have Him. For He said, I am the Son of God. The thieves also which were crucified with Him cast the same in His teeth. There they are, both railing on Him. Okay. Both of them railing. But then, what did we see? Oh, God's sovereign, amazing grace we see at work here. And why did both these rail on Him? Well, because the Scripture says, the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. We all fell in Adam. We come into this world dead in trespasses and sins and enmity with God. And the Scripture declares this of all humanity. But notice in verse 39, let's go back to our text. The Scriptures say that one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on Him and railed there saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But now let's read verses 40 and 42. Now remember, we just read where both of them were railing, right? Both of them were railing on Christ at first. But something's occurred. Something's happened. Look at this in verses 40 and 42. But the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, Dost thou not fear God? See thou art in the same condition, and we indeed justly, For we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. So again, we know from Matthew 27 that both thieves that first were railing on Christ, both manifested the same natural hateful spirit against the Christ of God that natural man has. And marvel at this now, suddenly, for no reason known to unregenerate men and women, one of the thieves all of a sudden is manifesting a different spirit. He's manifest. Look at that. But the other answered and rebuked him. A little while before, they were both railing together. And now, though, but the other answered and rebuked him, saying, dost thou not fear God, seeing thou art in the same condition or condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. What happened? What distinguished this one thief from the other? As I said earlier, beloved, this is a clear manifestation, a display of God's distinguishing grace, which is set here before us. Who made the difference? God made the difference. God made the difference. God had done a heart work on this thief. One is born again by the Holy Spirit of God. God has passed by one thief, leaving him with his heart of stone. And he's given the other a heart of flesh, like Scripture proclaims, to love the Lord. Think of us in our own families. I have brothers and family members who have no care for God. No care at all. And yet I love the Lord. I know it's so for you too and your families. Who made us to differ? God. The same God that has made this thief to differ is the same God who's made us to differ. By His grace and by His mercy. And it's amazing. It's absolutely amazing. We marvel at this. We marvel at this. So we have a clear picture here that it's God's grace that makes us to differ. He had mercy upon one thief and not the other. Now, is there anything good in this penitent thief who's received mercy to merit this grace? Is there anything in him to merit this grace? I ask you, is there anything in you or I to merit the grace that God's given us? None. Nothing. As a matter of fact, when you look at the circumstances, they were both railing on the Lord. They're both condemned criminals, sentenced to death by the law, and the sentence was now being executed. The last people you'd think, the penitent thief is the last person you think that would receive this grace. But he's a chosen one of God's chosen people in Christ from eternity. The only thing that made these two thieves to differ is God's grace and God's mercy. And we see here that He's showing mercy to one and not the other. Why? Well, because the Scriptures proclaim this. I will have mercy on whom I'll have mercy, and I'll have compassion on whom I'll have compassion. So then it's not of him that willeth, so there goes free will, nor of him that runneth, there goes works, but of God that showeth mercy. Romans chapter 9, verses 15 and 16. God had mercy upon one thief, not the other. Let's bring it home. God has had mercy on we who believe, and not others in our lives. Now we keep praying for them, don't we? Never stop praying for your family members until they breathe their last breath, beloved, because we do not know who God's people are. Just keep lifting them up. Keep praying. We beg God to save our family members and friends who don't know Christ, don't we? We say, Lord, if it be thy will. Oh my. But God has mercy on whom he hath mercy. He hath compassion on whom he hath compassion. What did our Lord say in Matthew chapter 11? Turn there, if you would. Matthew chapter 11. Look at verses 25 and 27. Matthew chapter 11, verses 25 and 27. And listen to what our Lord says here. Matthew 11, verses 25 to 27. He says this, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for it seemed good in thy sight. My goodness. Think of that. Bring it home. It seemed good in God's sight to give us grace, to grant us faith to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son. And he to whomsoever the Son will what? Reveal him. Marvel at these truths. Our Lord revealed himself to one of these thieves, but he did not reveal himself to the other. One of these thieves was included in the eternal covenant of grace, and the other was not. One of these thieves was redeemed by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the other was not. One of these thieves was a recipient of God's grace, and the other was not. One of these thieves was an object of God's mercy, and the other was not. One of these thieves was quickened by God the Holy Spirit, born again, granted faith to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and the other was not. So we see here before us a picture of God's distinguishing grace. And it's evidenced by the actions of the penitent thief, by his words. We'll look at that. Take note, instead of using his mouth with hateful words, which we know he was doing at the beginning, because he was railing on Christ with the other thief, right? What does the penitent thief now do? The one who's born again by the Holy Spirit of God. Instead of using his mouth with hateful words against the Christ of God, he uses his mouth to rebuke the other thief. Dost thou not fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? But the other answering rebuked him. Look at verse 40. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost thou not fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And then take note of verse 41, where we see God's grace evidenced in the penitent thief. He's been born again by the Holy Spirit of God and by the words which he says to the thief who was railing on the Lord. And we indeed justly. What's he see? He sees his sinfulness before God. He says, we're here, we're getting what we deserve. For we receive the due reward of our deeds. The wages of sin is what? Death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. But look at this. But this man hath done nothing amiss. Oh. So we see here the penitent thief has a new heart. He's now confessed that he was getting what he deserved. And he didn't vault himself above the other thief. Look what he says here. He didn't say, well, you old sinner, pity. No, look what he said. Look what he said. He said, and we indeed justly. See, this is why when people say about God's people, you all think you're a bunch of holier than thou. You don't know how we think. No, we know we're sinners. We know we're sinners by birth. We know we're sinners by nature. And we know we're sinners by choice. And we still struggle with sin even after we've been saved. And so you see this thief, he's saying, He's lopping himself in the other. But yeah, he says, we're getting what we deserve. And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. And these two thieves are condemned to die. And the thief with the new heart was convicted by the power of God, the Holy Spirit. He now knows that not only had he sinned against God, he knows he deserves to die. He knows he deserves to die. He knows. He says that we're getting what we deserve. And we indeed justly. For we receive the due reward of our deeds. He knew the other thief had sinned against God too, and he knew he deserved to die just like him. And unregenerate men and women will always justify their sinful ways. They always come up with excuses why they do what they do. It's not until we're born again that we see ourselves as hell-deserving sinners, unworthy of the mercy and grace of God. And it's God who makes the difference in every single believer's life. The same one who made the difference between these two thieves is the same God who makes a difference in every believer's life. It's God who makes the difference. For who made you to differ? God made us to differ. And what do you have that you didn't receive? Oh my. And like the penitent thief, by God's grace, the believer in Christ will confess that if God cast us into the lake of fire, which is the second death, we'd be getting just what we deserve. And take note also that the penitent thief here proclaims the sinlessness of Christ. Note this in verse 41. We indeed justly, for we receive the due rewards of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. Beloved, he's professing the sinlessness of Christ. And take note of verse 42 here also. Evidences of the grace of God in the heart of the penitent. In the way that cannot be denied. Look at what he says to the Lord. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Marvel at the great change here. Remember, at first he's railing with the other thief on Christ. Marvel at the great change that has occurred here. A mighty work of God has been performed. This thief at first was railing on the Lord, but now this hell-deserving thief knew that Jesus Christ is Lord. Look at it, it says, and he said unto Jesus, Lord. He called him Lord. Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. He confesses him as Lord. And think upon this. When he said these words, he had to know that Jesus Christ was King of Kings. He had to know that he is our Lord. He confesses him as Lord. How did the thief know these wonderful truths about the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, let's look at verses 35 to 38. Look at this. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with him, derided him, saying, he saved others. Let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God. Now, there's some truth in their statement there, isn't there? He did save others. And little did they know, he's saving a multitude of people that no man can number while he's dying on the cross right there before them. And there's also truth when they said, if he be Christ, the chosen of God, he is the Christ. And he is the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him offering him vinegar and saying, if thou be king of the Jews, save thyself. He is king of the Jews. He's king of spiritual Israel, isn't he? Oh my. Oh, my beloved. And a superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek, in Latin, in Hebrew. This is King of the Jews. Yes, it is. Is he your king? He's my king. Amen. He's the king. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So these people derided our Lord. And derided there, I looked it up in the Greek. Derided there is to turn your nose up at someone. Think of that. I was talking to Brother Roy about that before service. They were turning their nose up at the Lord of glory. My goodness. And I said to Roy, we were talking about that. The depravity of man's on full display. And we know we were in that state at one time too. Until God saved us. Nope, they said he saved others. Let him save himself if he be Christ, the chosen of God. And here is the chosen one of God, redeeming his people from all their sins, saving this people from their sins, giving his life for his sheep. And these men are turning their noses up to him. Oh my. And then the soldiers are mocking him, saying, if thou be king of the Jews, save thyself. Well, he saved others. He saved others. This is a true statement. This one commentator brings forth, the Holy Spirit made this effectual, knowing that, one commentator said that possibly the thief had thought, well, if he had the power to save others, he could save me. He's born again, hey. Oh yeah, he can save me. He can save me. So it's obviously these unbelieving Jews did not believe that Jesus was the Christ, the chosen of God. But these truths revealed or reached the ears of the penitent thief. And the Holy Spirit revealed Christ to him. How? All by His sovereign, almighty power. This thief was like a brand plucked from the fire, beloved. And so is every one of us. Yeah, we are. Oh my. Now think of this, considering God's distinguishing grace. The other thief heard the same truths. The other saw the same superscription, but they made no effect upon it. None. It's only God's distinguishing grace that makes us to differ. That's the only thing that makes us to differ. As the Apostle Paul wrote, by the grace of God, I am what I am. And that's true for every single believer. We are born again, blood-washed saints, all by the power of God. And let us look at our Lord's response to this penitent thief, to one of His lost sheep that's now been found. And we see His answer to the plea of one of His sheep. Think of this. This is a plea of one of His sheep, eh? Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Just remember me. Just remember me. And here we see God's amazing, absolute, sovereign grace on display. The thief on the cross went to heaven's glory, beloved, the moment he closed his eyes in death. My. He'd never been baptized, and that really creates a problem for those folks who believe that you can't go to heaven unless you get baptized. Right? He never walked an aisle or prayed a prayer. Right? He didn't repeat some Romans road that folks get people to repeat. He didn't do that. No. The thief on the cross never spoke in tongues, and that creates a problem for people who say, you have to speak in tongues to be saved. It creates a huge problem, doesn't it? No. This thief on the cross went to paradise, to heaven's glory, that very same day. Our Lord said to him, verily, verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Today. May God help us to apply this comforting truth to our own hearts, beloved. To our own hearts. We'll wake up in glory the same day we breathe our last breath on this earth. The same day we go through the door marked death, we'll be in the presence of the Lord. All because of what Christ has done. The Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:8, we are confident, I say, and willing, rather to be absent from the body than to be present with the Lord. All by God's marvelous, distinguishing grace in Christ. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the time that we've had to go through this chapter today. Oh, what a great blessing it is. Oh, Lord, we see what we saw tonight, Your distinguishing grace on display. Both thieves were railing on You, oh Lord, but one of them was an object of Thy love, oh Lord, from eternity. And we are Your people. We marvel in the fact that we were objects of Thy love from eternity. We know what You saved us from. We know who we were and what we were. We know we still struggle even now after we're saved. But, O Lord, You are so full of grace and so full of mercy towards Your people. We pray that You would use this message for Your glory and for Your honor and for Your praise. In Jesus' name, amen.